Mr. Desmond, I need to do something for me right now. I need you to go on your phone or whatever. I need you to pull up your World Athletics profile and read off all of your accolades.
Read off all my accolades.
Yes, all your accolades from the World Athletics profile. I need them dropped right now.
Okay, so one-time Olympic champion, one-time world champion, one-time Olympic Games bronze medalist, one-time NatCAC champion, one-time NatCAC championship bronze medalist, one-time NCAA champion, and one-time national champion. That shit is kind of crazy. That's
right? Crazy. Right? So everybody listening, if you didn't know who Bryce Desmond was before, like, this is who he is. He is that man. He is him. And like I was just saying to you off the recording, Bryce, I just want people to get to know who you are and, like, just understand that besides the people that they initially think about when it comes to the men's 400, like, you're definitely somebody who has already proven themselves many times on your World Athletics profile that you have what it takes to be a world and Olympic champion, which is really crazy to think about, like you just said. So how does it make you feel?
How does what? The accolades that I have? How does that make me feel or what?
Yes, the accolades. How do accolades make you feel?
How the accolades make me feel? I mean, shoot, I don't know. It's part of the job, I guess.
You say that's what I get paid for.
It's part of the job. It's part of the job. I mean, I don't know. Like, I never really sit down and ponder and think about what I didn't do. But, like, I mean, shit. I guess let me start saying this. Shoot.
Nah, you good. They be cussing on here. You straight.
Okay. I mean, shoot. Like the paperwork is there, the resume is there, so it is what it is.
That's facts. Now, one thing that I really want to talk to you about, because I talked to you about it when it happened at USA's, and you told me on camera, and I was like, I know this is not what this man just told me. So, if I remember correctly, you said that you won USA's after only practicing for like 8-some weeks.
Hey, yeah, no, that shit was crazy.
What was going on? Because I have literally never heard of nobody pulling off something crazy like that. Because you already know, men's USA 400, that's
it ain't no joke.
It's no joke. So how did you pull that off?
Bro, I don't know. I remember, so look. It was literally last year around this time. It was March 18th to be exact. I remember my ankle was hurting for like a month leading up to that date, and I just kept like ignoring it. And then I was at practice one day. I was like, hey, bro, like, this was not going away. Like, what's going on? So I went to the doctor. They ordered MRIs, and they told me I had like a small tear in one of my tendons in my ankle, and I was going to have to be in a boot for 4 weeks. And I was like, bro, 4 weeks is crazy. He was like, 4 weeks in a boot, and then 4 weeks of rehab, and then you can start running. And I remember I sat down, I started doing the math. I say, it's March 19th, 4 weeks, that's April 19th. Another 4 weeks after that, that's like May 19th. I say, trials like mid-June. Like, what I'm going to do? So, like I don't know. I was nervous, too. I didn't know how long she was going to turn out. I remember when I got that news, I was like, bro, like, I don't know. I, like, is my season
over? You might be cut, bro.
Exactly. So, I mean, my coach came up with a plan. He had me in the pool literally like every day over that 8 week time span. And I got out and I remember like all the track meets I was trying to get into the running before USA was really trying to scrub me. Like, no one was responding to my agent's emails. No one was responding to my emails. I had to find little C class or unranked meets around the world to run it just to like get it. Like, I hadn't ran at all during the outdoor season. 3-4 weeks out from the USA trials. And I remember after 8 weeks, I was like, shoot, like, we just gonna see what happened. We just gonna ride. And I dropped a 44, and I'm like, damn, that shit. That's crazy. I haven't even touched the track. I didn't touch a track for like 9 weeks, which is absurd. Like, that's crazy. And then, like, I don't know, I just went to USA's and everything worked out.
You can't just drop something like that on your competitor's head. Like, you know how mad I would be if you told me some dude ain't ran on a track in 8 weeks and just beat me? Oh, we would have been fighting.
It was, It was very wild. I didn't think I was gonna do that either. Like I didn't know what to expect out of last season at all. I was trying to stay positive, but like in the back of my head, I'm seeing people run, people dropping 44 low, and I'm like, dang, bro, like I can't even walk on my 2 feet, and these people, these people dropping 44, this crazy. Like, what am I gonna do? But yeah, no, that was wild. That was very wild. That was very wild.
Nah, I'm glad you talked about that because honestly, you know, I'm all for like the inspiration story. So anybody listening, you already know if things look like that ain't working out, Bryce Dedman is a perfect picture of like if God said it's time, then you just be ready. Be ready.
I know it's real. Anything can happen. And that really showed me that because I didn't know what to expect going in the trial. I'm just like, damn, I really can get out here, walk out here and get drugged. And I really can't do nothing about it. I'm going to just have to shrug my shoulders and be like, dang, bro, I was out for 8 weeks.
Yes. Nah. And so I went back and I stalked your teethers a little bit because I remember you running because I think you graduated the year before I did in undergrad. So, like, I've kind of like known your name like while I was at Ithaca, but I went back and I stalked your T-first and I'm looking like this boy was running 48 47 his freshman year. So like did you think that what you've accomplished now was possible when you was a freshman?
Did I think it was possible my freshman year? I say my freshman year I came in super optimistic. I thought I was gonna make the team to see senior, but you know, that is not how that works.
It be like that. It do.
Look. I think everybody coming in freshman year feeling super optimistic, and then so I had major surgery. I had broke my ankle my freshman year. I had surgery on that, and then after that, it really kind of started setting in. Like, wow, like what I wanted to do may not happen. Like this whole pro thing, like may not work out. So I would say my freshman year, yes, I thought it was possible. But after my surgery, I was just kind of like, I need to like focus on my studies. I need to like start making connections on campus because like this is not promised. I mean, and of course, I was still putting in a full effort of like doing what I could in practice. But it was just like whatever happens, happens. So no, yeah. I did not think I'd be in this position at all.
That's so crazy. But speaking of connections, I just want to know, because you're a cute dog, I just want to know, do they be pulling up to you, like, on meets? Because I remember when they was opening our indoor track this year for Jim Green, I didn't know Jim was a cute. So I'm looking, I'm like, what the hell are these purple people pulling up? And I see one of my friends, Tony, because Tony is one, and I'm like, what are you doing here? And they're like, you didn't know that Jim was one of the bros? And I was like, Jim could be my granddaddy. Of course I didn't know that. But I just want to know, like, do they be rolling up for you at track meets, supporting you like that?
They actually do. So it's been, I think this was in Worlds in 2022 after we won gold in the 4x4. I remember we were doing our victory lap. And, like, I was shaking people's hand, and this dude, like, grabbed my arm. He was like, what's up, Q? I'm like, oh! I was like, oh, shoot. And he was like, yeah, I've been following you. My name is XYZ. I crossed at this chapter at this school. But it's really cool, like, in instances like that when I meet people who actually keep up with the sport. And as far as people supporting and traveling, I actually got a chapter brother that's actually coming to Paris and we're making plans to come to Paris this summer. My best friend's dad is a Q. He coming to the USA trials this summer. And a lot of my pro fights who crossed at my school too have plans to either come to Paris or USA trials. I'm pretty sure if I told them to come, they for sure will come. But I mean, even without me saying anything, some of them are still pulling up. So it is good to get support from them for sure.
That is so crazy to think about. Like, yeah, come to Paris. You know, I'm about to come win a gold medal. Everybody come get on this flight. Like, it's so crazy that you got a community like that behind you. I really think that's beautiful. But speaking of, you know, like people pouring into you in terms of support, I went on your Instagram. I commented on this picture too, but you for the kids, man, the young adult mixer, like you definitely pouring into like other people as well. So like, what is that about? Why is Bryce giving back to the community?
I wouldn't even call it giving back, honestly. When I got injured my freshman year at A&M, and like I said, I didn't know if this whole track thing was going to work out. I really started leaning into like meeting more people on campus and getting active. And I was part of the NAACP in undergrad, and I was actually on the committee. And when I graduated, I just wanted to stay active in like different community events, different community mixes, different like programs and whatnot. So I decided I wanted to join the NAACP branch here in Houston, and that's kind of what happened. I finally got connected with them. I went to my first meeting. What was this? Like the second week of January. And from that meeting, we literally planned like a whole like little social event, which was actually a good turnout. I really didn't know how it was going to end up, but it actually turned out really well. Like everything turned out well. But yeah, that, of course, I'm a Q, and I'm planning on getting involved in some other things. I just like getting involved in meeting as many people as possible, showing my face in a community as much as possible. I like I said, I kind of always been like that since undergrad. So
yeah. And I think that's important too, because, you know, one of the biggest things for me is like me making sure that people understand, like the athletes I'm talking to, T, the rest of us, like we're not just talking to a bunch of people that know how to run fast, put a ball in a hoop and stuff like that. Like we are talking to people that are literally making changes in their community and are doing other things outside of like just being athletically gifted. So, you know, all the people that you impacted, they appreciate it. But I also appreciate it too, because you're showing why it's important to not just, you know, be fast. Like you gotta have something else. Yes, you gotta have something else going for you, and you're definitely doing that.
Yeah, no, I've always felt like that. Like I'm a person before I'm an athlete, and it's just so many other interests and other things I want to do with my life outside of this. And once this is done, it's like, why not start this now or meet people now instead of just being one track? Like it's so easy to leave practicing, get involved in your community, or join different organizations and whatnot, and meet people. So yeah. I'm all for that.
So you were saying, you know, one of the reasons why you decided to get a lot more involved in your campus is because of the injury. And you were saying, well, you don't even know if like going pro is really going to be an option for you, like after you graduated and stuff like that. But obviously you're professional now. You got Nike behind you. They repping you, like they know who you are, and they saw something in you. So I want to know, like for you, what do you think they saw in you for them to want to commit to you and like want to sponsor you?
I'm not going to say I don't know. I would probably say it was my progression throughout my time at A&M. And I would say, if anything, it was my last year at A&M. My last year at A&M, that 2021 year, was definitely my breakout season. I was dropping 44s, like, consistently, literally every single track meet. I got second at Outdoor Nationals, and I was the only collegiate athlete that year to medal, I believe, on the men's side, I would say. Mm-hmm. I was the only collegiate male to get a medal at the Tokyo Olympics. So I think that was what kind of sealed the deal when they put me on that 4x4. And even being on that 4x4 was crazy, because I ain't know I was going to be on that 4x4. They got that gold medal until damn near the night before. So it was like, yeah. I was shooting like something. I don't know. That year shit just started like happening. Like it was so crazy. Like I was not expecting to go pro. I'd be telling people like 2-3 weeks before I had went to outdoor trials, I was literally working with like my program director for my master's program, like in a whole job search, like sending out resumes on LinkedIn hard. I'm talking about updating my resume, cover letters, all that.
Listen, I'm doing the same thing. So God, if you I saw that you did it for him. Listen, I got a track meet in 2 weeks. Fingers crossed. You know, if you want to drop a little something on me, God, you know.
Exactly. Look, anything really be possible. It, like I know it's cliche, but it's just like, damn, man, like that shit happened to me. I didn't think it was gonna happen to me at all. Like you said, you seen my teachers, like you seen what I was running like in there.
I mean, you wasn't slow, but like you
I wasn't this.
You obviously grown and like developed into an athlete that everybody trying to be. Like you already read off your accolades. You know how many people want an Olympic medal? I don't care if it's relay or if it's open, because you know people be talking about that. Oh, people be relay warriors, yada yada yada. But do you have an Olympic medal? Yeah, and is it gold? That's it. So I want to kind of get into this year a little bit. And I want to talk about USA's. I'm not going to like really dog you on it, because I know that it didn't really go as planned, but obviously you talking.
I mean, we can talk about it.
Okay.
I'm just scared to talk about it.
You in good spirits, but I know that it didn't really go how you wanted it to. So talk about like what was kind of going on through your mind, through USA's, and like if you like just how you felt after.
I wouldn't even say it didn't go. Well, My go- of course, the goal is to always come first and do well, but like I've never really placed much of an emphasis on indoor. I'm not gonna say that if I didn't get first and second and make the team, I would have been like, oh, who cares? But I mean, it just would have been like, I don't like even if I had got first and second, I don't think I had any intentions on going to Scotland for the team. Like, it, like, yeah. I kind of look at indoors as kind of just like getting some test runs in. Seeing where I'm at, kind of getting in my rhythm. So yeah, no, I wasn't even upset at how it ended. Actually, I was actually happy because I dropped the 45.5, and last year around the same time I ran at Mill Road Games and ran a 46.3. So I'm like ahead of where I was last year around the time. Yeah, so I wasn't even upset. I was actually happy. I'm like, oh damn, like I'm very much so further than where I was last year around the time.
Yes, yes. Okay, cool, cool, cool. Because I was watching the race and I was like, I don't know what's going on with him. And I feel so, I don't know if he injured. I don't know if he's
hey, look,
but Kay, I know I'm watching Kay, I said, oh nothing.
Kay, they gave first of all, they gave me lane one. And like I'm not really the type of person to be like, oh, this is a terrible lane. I was like, shit, fuck it, I'm gonna do what it do. Like, I'm gonna make some shape. And then I came off that second turn and I seen I was last coming off the break. I said, oh hell no, this race over. Hey bro, we was legit in a single file line, like going through the first 200, and I was the last person in that line. I was like, bro, I'm not gonna win this race. Like this race is over. Like
I said, bro, because I'm watching it and I'm watching the second lap, and like you already know you tall as hell. So it's like I'm watching you at the back, but your stride is just so like it's long for no reason. And so you just going, and I'm like, it looked like he running slow, but I know he not really running slow, but like he is kind of getting cooked right now. So like I don't really know.
I feel that. No, I'm not gonna lie. They did walk up on me. They for sure walked up on me. For sure.
I'm watching the end of the race. I'm like, oh Matt, oh Ja'Cory, oh shit, right. And then you come across, I'm like, it's okay. I hope he's not.
Look, keep your head up.
Listen, I'm the last one to judge about somebody's time because somebody put on my T first. This is why I don't talk shit on social media. If somebody pull up my T first, I'm deactivating all of my accounts because you don't need to tell me how fast I run. We don't got to talk about that. So, I'm the last person to talk about how somebody racing or how slow or how fast they are. But I just thought that shit was so crazy. I'm watching. I'm like, I don't think this is how he wanted this to go. But he looked like he's okay. So I'm gonna just.
I was completely fine. I'm not gonna lie. I was completely fine. I was not upset by any stretch of the meaning at all.
So, you know, already made an Olympic team, already got an Olympic gold medal. What are we doing to repeat that again this year? And like making sure that you're getting two medals on that relay and then one open.
In the individual.
I'm not about to play with you. We need an open.
I feel the same way. And honestly, I was planning on getting one in the open last year. I mean, but shoot, shit happens. I ended up getting hurt with like 2 days before the prelims, and it just wasn't my time. But this year, I have a really good training group. A lot of people came in this year. I have two really good training partners. I have my training partner Nick from the UK, and then Champion Allison, who was training at Florida last year. So they really good training partners who push me on an everyday basis compared to last year, where I was literally by myself from the time I started to the time I finished the season, doing all my reps by myself. So that's a major boost for sure. Having someone to run next to and practice when you really don't feel like practicing helps immensely. So that's one thing. And shoot, just doing what my coach is telling me to do. And hopefully this is one thing. This is the longest I've stayed healthy, honestly, since I think I got to college. Like I keep saying that, like I haven't had any injury this year to where I had to sit out of practice. Like that's actually crazy for me. So we look, fingers crossed, knock on wood. Okay, look,
I got you, man.
Exactly. Like last year, I don't know if it was because I was like getting adapted to the new trainer program with my coach and web, but like even before I had that ankle injury where I had to sit out for 2 months, I was out for like a week or two here with like a hamstring strain, or a week or two here with a calf strain. Like I was like beat up all last year. I'm really surprised I even did what I did last year, which is crazy.
Yeah, man. But I'm You know, you mentioned like your training group expanding, and I'm glad you touched a little bit on it because I just remember you and Chant posting a picture of the group, and I was like, I don't know who these people are, but y'all are posted up like y'all are the Avengers. So I just, you know, I've never seen a training group before. I'm like, I know that you train in Texas, but I'm looking at Chant, and I'm like, this dude was definitely just in Florida like February. So I don't even know like what's going on. And then obviously I saw some other really good people that y'all got in y'all training group too. But I'm just what's the vibes? Like, how does it feel? You know, like you said, you got more people in the training group, more people to keep you motivated. And I just want to know like how it feels to just be able to have some more people on your side.
It's really good. Last year, how many of it was it last year? It was like six or seven of us last year. Even that, like three or four of them were international. So like once the season started, they were overseas in their respective countries. So it was like maybe two or three of us that practiced from March to June. So like it was, I'm not going to say it was terrible, but it was just like, damn, it's like boring. Like we, like us three, like just talking at practice, but it's just like, it wasn't lively at all, at all. And even after trials, I was really the only person in my group after trials. Like, I was training literally by myself for real, for like damn near 2 months. Like, it was different. It was different. But it's definitely good having more teammates, talking to people. Practice be fun. We just be like joking around in between reps and before practice. Like, it's actually really cool. And shoot, even next week, a lot of us in the group are planning to go to the Houston Rodeo next week. Even just something nice like that. Is something that we really couldn't do last year because it was so little of us and people kind of were doing their own thing. So it's really cool. It's really cool.
Nah, that's dope. Because I think when I talk to a lot of pros, they be saying like the toughest part about being pro is like, you know, not really having a community. Obviously, like when you in school, like everything is like laid out for you. Like they tell you when you go to practice, they tell you like all this stuff. They lead you to like how to be successful. But then after that, it's kind of like a lot on your own and like you being responsible for yourself. Like you're not going to have nobody telling you like, you need to go and like get your stuff done. It's just like, if you want to play with your money like that, cool. But like, exactly, that don't really got nothing to do with me. So yeah, I'm glad that you spoke about that because people be wanting to go pro and it's just like, I don't know if people really understand that. Like, it's definitely going to be different from like what it looks like when you run it fast collegially.
And no, 100%, 100%. Like you said, everything is on you. Like, of course you still got practice, but like, you ain't got classes in the morning. Like, what time you wake up is depending on you. Like, you ain't got no cafeteria. How you eat throughout the day is depending on you. Shoot, you don't have a readily available athletic trainer. So how you recover and get treatment is up to you. Like, it's very much so. Like, you have to be very disciplined and responsible for yourself. Very much so. Yeah. Very much so. And that's definitely an adjustment in itself, for sure.
Most definitely. So what would you say like keeps you motivated and who are the people in your circle that keep you grounded?
What keeps me motivated? I'll be thinking about that. What keeps me motivated? I think what keeps me motivated is just the constant drive, or like the always wanting to see what I can get out of myself. I've just seen how I progress every year since my freshman year at A&M, and just always getting better. It's always creeping up. So it's like, I want to ride that until it, like, it's fully exhausted. And see where that takes me. Also, the adrenaline rush, I'm not gonna lie, like, I'd be terrified before my races, but at the same time, I don't know, like, this even made me feel alive. I don't know. I can't.
Right. You're an adrenaline junkie. That's what it is. That's why you're going to the rodeo. You better play out there with them bulls. That's what's wrong with you.
I'll be like, hey, I legit be like, damn, they're like shaking and shivering before like the gun pop, but I don't know. It's just like, damn, that shit kind of felt good. I don't know how to describe
it. You sick.
it's really crazy. So I'll say that motivates me, the adrenaline rush, and the fact that I just constantly want to get the most out of myself. And that's even in life too, just always progressing and see what I can get out of myself. And who keeps me grounded? I would say, of course, my inner circle. But even outside of my inner circle, I think that's why I'm always trying to get active in my surrounding community and just meeting people, staying active, being in different social circles, hearing other people's experiences. It's kind of like that keeps me like where I need to be at. empathetic, understanding of others, having people around that check me when I need to be checked, just stuff like that, things like that.
For sure. Now we're gonna talk a little bit about your competition, even though a couple of people in your competition decided to go run something else. Listen, I don't know why, but anyway, now I'm playing. I know why. It's that bag. Anyway, so last year the 400, it was wide open, right? Like we didn't have Michael because he like I'm gonna go run 100, and then Fred, I got beef with him low key because you was talking all this mess about 42. Okay, you've been running 100 for like
2 years.
Where are you at? Where's my 42? I'm not about to play with you.
God.
And then Randolph obviously isn't competing right now either. And so I just want to know how you felt with it being so open last year. Did that give you a lot more confidence going into USA? Because I know we already talked about this. Like you didn't even think that that was going to happen. But knowing that most of the people that fans were focused on were not competing, did that make you feel better?
I mean, before I got hurt, hell yeah. And then when I got hurt, I was like, hell no. I'm making it out of prelims. Like, it don't matter how pretty. And who not? Yeah, nah. I went into USA. I was like, damn, bro. Like, I really could get scraped like bad. Like, bad. What is about to happen? So, no, it did. It like I said, before I got injured, yes, I was like, oh, wow. Like, I really can do something big this year. And then when I got hurt, I'm not going to say it went down the drain, but I was just like, damn, like, I mean, it was open, but I'm not in the open. Yes. I don't know if I'm going to be in the mix.
Oh my God. Nah, but Fred and Michael, they was like, okay, we finna go around 100, yada, yada, yada. Anyways, have you ever thought about just wanting to switch events just for the fun of it?
Look. I'm not gonna lie, Kate. When I tell you I hate the 400 with everything in my
that's so you can't even say that because you can't even have that many accolades and be like, I don't like the 400. You can't say that. You can't say that.
I mean, Kate is real, like I said, I do like track, but it's like, damn, I've been running the 400 since I was like 8, 9 years old. I mean, like, it's still, I can be a sprinter too. My times don't really show up and shit.
Let me get on the track.
Hey, oh God. I wish that was the case, but it's not. So I'm going to have to keep cranking out these, hey, cranking out these 400s. Oh God. I wish I could change events. Down, not up at all. Hell no, we're not going up. We're not doing nothing.
You don't want to run no 800. Brandon be talking all that mess on Twitter, talking about some, oh, I'm going to run the 8. I'm going to run 145. He still ain't done it yet, but that's
not it. Look, Vernon can do that. Look, just like he said.
No, Vernon can do it. He just playing. That him and that bald head just keep playing too much. He can stop. But look, do you enjoy kind of being a silent killer? Because as I keep repeating, they're sleeping on you. I really feel like people sleeping on you because I feel like every time we talk about the 4, like nobody is mentioning you. And I just want to know, like, do you enjoy being the person that people don't really like talk about as much? Or like, would you want to be in more of the spotlight? Like, would you want to have more people going on Twitter or going on Instagram being like, no, like screw everybody else. Like, it's just going to be Bryce.
That's a good question. I would say it would be nice to get more recognition because sometimes, like, I'll go back and watch a race on YouTube and, like, they'll talk about everybody else in the field. I'll be like, damn, they ain't even mention my name. That's really, that's actually wild. Or if they do mention my name, it would be like, oh, and Bryce Denman is running next to so-and-so. And it's just like, dang, like, I for sure would want some type of more recognition because, like you said, like, people, that, like, it's no discussion. Like, I'd be just like, damn, like, I'm here too. like it, I don't know. It'd be crazy. And I'd be wondering why, like, damn, like, I've been in these races. I've been on these relays. I've been in the mix. Why is it like I'm always overlooked like that? It's very weird. So do I enjoy it? I would say I enjoy it, but, I mean, I've accepted it. It is what it is. I just got to keep doing what I'm doing. I can't really do too much about that.
Yeah.
And I just have to keep improving for myself. Like I said, the recognition would be good, but I mean, I can't really do anything about that. I gotta play my role.
Hey, don't worry. You got me. You got Janiyah too, because I forgot you and Janiyah went to
My
school.
girl, Janiyah.
Janiyah be cheering for you. So don't worry. You got two people in your back pocket. And then obviously you got your trading group too. So
I appreciate that.
Let's talk a little bit about the NCAA. Is there anybody in particular that you have your eyes on right now in terms of like who you feel like might be your toughest competition going into USA Trials?
USA Trials and the NCAA at the moment. Obviously, I would say Christian Morales, but he's from Canada, so I mean, I wouldn't even have to worry about him till later. What he did is like crazy as hell. That shit crazy. I mean, at the moment, I can't really say just at the simple fact it's hard to tell off the indoor. Like, I don't know. I can't really judge anything off the indoor. Of course, indoor is somewhat important, but it's like, I mean, if you're not doing it outdoor, it doesn't really matter. So, I mean, I would have to wait to see how the rest of the year plays out to say that. Not saying that anyone in the NCAA can't be a factor, can't be in the mix, but I don't know. We'll just see what happens throughout the year.
Most definitely. And speaking of Christopher, I want to know your thoughts because – I was so blue when they was like, oh, the starting blocks don't got no senses, so it don't count. I'm like, I'm flipping tables. I'm burning buildings down because
I would be high too.
I'm not about to run the fastest time ever known in the existence of the history of man. And you tell me that is not the work. We're going to have to fight.
I'll blame that on the SEC though, because it's just like, why wouldn't you have these different like things in place or follow a protocol to make sure something like that wouldn't happen? Like, I definitely believe that's all on the SEC. That's really crazy that they didn't have that in place just in case something like that happened. Like, the SEC is extremely fast. Something always happens at SEC. I don't know why they didn't have those things in place to where his record could be ratified. That's very crazy. I think that's very crazy.
Yeah, and I know people were talking about some old life, but it's expensive, it's expensive. That I completely understand. But also,
I don't understand that. I'm not gonna lie, I disagree. I don't understand that because, like, this is a sport we all putting our all into the sport. Why would you spend the money to make sure everything is in place? Like, no, I can't agree with that. It could be expensive, but that's just a cost you're gonna have to pay.
No, that's fact. Because I remember, because, like, what you said, like the SEC, the national meet, like them two meets, if you want to see anybody run anything fast, like it's going to be at both of these meets. Like NCAA's last year, I don't know if people was paying attention, but if Femke hadn't broken that world record like 3 weeks before Britton got on that track, Britton would have been the world record holder. Then before that, SEC's Talitha was the American record holder at like 50.1. So I'm like, you know, you got these kids coming to these meets, running records. Like, we already know SEC and the Division I National Championship, like, them kids do not be playing. Like, I don't know what be up with them. I'm saying them like it's not me too, but I don't know what be up, but like that's just how they roll. And so, like you saying, to not have that stuff in place, knowing year after year after year, you always
something big somebody happens.
Yes, I think that's bad. But I just
think
a bunch of other stuff about track that I could talk about for like 10 billion hours, but I'm also not trying to get fired from my job. So I'm gonna keep my mouth shut. If you were to be a star athlete in any other sport, what would it be?
What would it be? I'd probably say basketball. I'm not gonna front.
Yeah, because you like 8 foot. Because I never see you.
You said 8 foot.
I never see you in person. And I see you, I said, I'm not gonna lie, this boy big as shit. Man, okay, basketball. And then these questions, I'm reading out the group chat, and because I asked like some of the people I work with, I said, like, do y'all want to ask them anything? Because y'all need to. And they sent me a whole bunch of stuff, but I'm gonna ask a couple of more from what they sent for me. One of them is, what is your thoughts on World Athletics deciding to make world champs like the end of the season?
I think it should have always been like that. I never understand what that track means after world championships. Like, and even that, like, look, so it's just like in every other major sport, like the championship is like the pinnacle. And then after the championship, there's like an offseason. I never understood why they were like other major track meets after world championships. And even after world championships, sometimes you be pulling up to these track meets like, bro, like, why am I still
I'm only here because my bank account needs some money, but like
my bank account, I'm trying to get paid and I'm trying to hit like this track meet quota, like this track meet minimum in my contract. Like it was so many track meet. It was a couple track meets I pulled up to last year and I'm like, bro, like what's the purpose? Like what why am I here? And I'm not even gonna say it sounds bad because it's like after you do what you do at World, after World is over, it's just like that was like the pinnacle. Why are we still running? Why are there still major track meets after that? And it's very hard to stay motivated sometimes. It very much so is.
Yeah, because
until you get to Diamond League Finals, I would say like the track meets in between is just like.
Nah, because when I talked to Joe about it, when he had signed with ASICS, I was like, so you wasn't feeling no type of way about the fact that you was overseas? Because actually, him and Chet was doing this. I'm asking him, I'm like, why in the hell was y'all continuing to run? Because they kept running, but mind you, like, they were still in college. So, like, they was in college, and then they went to Worlds, and then they signed, and they kept running. So, I'm like, y'all have literally been competing for mad long. Like, why did y'all choose to go overseas? And then they were just saying it was a combination of a bunch of different things, just, like, money, one of them, getting the experience, also, like, not turning down Diamond League invitations if you get them, because there's a whole whatever about that. And then also just, like, because they said it was the best thing to do. And I'm like...
I'm not going to lie. I understand. I don't judge nobody for their decisions or their opinions on that. I will say, after I ran in Tokyo 21, my agent was trying to get me to go to more track meets. And I said, boy, take my black ass.
Take me off. Cut the show. Take me off.
I'm not worried about no track meet. Bro, I've been running since like February. No, I'm not doing nothing else. But now it's like, I got to do it because like it's in my contract. I don't really have too much of a choice. I got to do it.
It is what it is. Now, before we end this, the last question I have for you is like, what do you feel like what's something that you feel like people need to know about you as an athlete or as a person?
As an athlete or as a person? Damn, this is.
And we get deep over here.
I mean, like I kind of stated before, like I'm not just Bryce the athlete, Bryce the track runner. I really always wanted to make an emphasis on that. Even when I was in school, like I've said multiple times in this interview, like that's why I'm so active in different things outside of track and field. Even when I was at A&M, I was active in a whole lot of stuff. I have a lot more interests outside of just running track. A lot more things that I'm involved in. I always tell myself, if I was to pass, or whenever I pass, I don't want them to be like, oh, this is Bryce, the Olympic athlete. Like, I don't want that to be on my eulogy. I don't want that to be people first thought. Like, I just want it to be like, this is Bryce Dedman. He was involved in this, and this. Of course, him running the Olympics was one of his biggest accolades, but he was so much more than that, and he did so much more and accomplish something more than that. Like, I don't want that to be my one and only identity. I do not want that at all. Mm. At all.
Nah, that's so deep. That just made me that tear up a little bit. I think that's real though, because honestly, I be praying to God about the same stuff. I be like, yeah, and like I said, don't think about how fast I run, because you know God can do anything. But I'd be like, God, I definitely want to be pro. But like, I'd be telling him, like, this is not something that you have to make my entire life around. Like, I'm cool with like being in the game for a couple years, give me a couple medals, but like, I'm not trying to make that the entirety of like who I am, because I feel like I can have more impact on people besides just like running fast. I feel like the journey getting there, the journey after that, and like the stuff that I'm doing right now, all of that stuff I feel like is important in terms of, you know, just being a good person and then like being a positive impact on other people. So I'm so glad that there's other people out there like that, because this is not me crapping on people who feel like, you know, they want their entire like thing about them to be about how good of an athlete that they were. But I also just like do be happy knowing that there's other people that are just like, I want to be impactful on the track, but off the track as well, and just do stuff that it's more than just medals. There's more to life than medals.
It's more than just sports, exactly. And like, I just, I just truly believe I will succeed in another area of my life just as much as I have succeeded in track and field. Like I will have a whole another life once this is all gone. Like
Yes.
once all the track stuff is gone. Like I literally have a whole other phase of my life. Like why is it that I can't be just as successful in that area as well?
Yeah.
Like it's so much more. Yeah, no, I've always thought like that. I've always thought like
That's dope, man. Well,
that.
thank you so much for talking to me. Everybody that's listening, you already know if Bryce Denman is not in your top three, but it's summer. Don't even worry about it. I'm gonna find where you live. I'm gonna just have to come beat you up and then knock your business in you go. But yes, thank you so much, and I appreciate you.
I appreciate you.